In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of dark things going on in the world, and if you pay attention to the news, you could easily fall into despair or have such great anxiety that you might not know what to do. But the question you should be asking is, how, as a Christian, should you respond to this? Because we don't live through life just hoping that things are going to work out and believing that God's maybe concerned that maybe someone might mess up his plan. We know that God knows exactly how things are going to work out. We don't know that, but we know that he does, and so we can have faith in that. But in the second epistle reading, which is appointed for the feast of the 40 martyrs, we heard these words: "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." These are the words that often conclude the various readings that we read throughout the church year for Feast of the Fathers, All Saints of Russia, Sunday of All Saints. So we hear this reading a lot, the Hall of Fame of Faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And then we have this summary that we're compassed with a great cloud of witnesses, or we could say we're surrounded with this great cloud of witnesses. Well, what does that mean? One thing that it means is that the saints literally surround us, that we're not separated from the saints, but we also have their examples before us. But the only way that we can have their examples before us is if we are reading their lives, if we're reading the scriptures, because we have saints' lives in the scriptures too, but the saints' lives that are after scripture are sort of the continuation of the book of Acts, you could say. And also going to the church, to the services, hearing services about these saints and singing hymns to them and asking for their prayers and intercessions. This is the way that we connect with this great cloud of witnesses. And then it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So when it says that Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, you could also translate that as the pioneer or the forerunner, and then the perfecter. So in other words, if you think about the difference between a pioneer and an immigrant, you know, often people get this confused, but a pioneer is somebody who comes to a country that doesn't exist yet, and he starts to do the things that make that country established. Immigrants are the people who later benefit from all the work of the pioneers and then come to live in that country. So there's a difference. Well, Christ is the pioneer. He's the one that made it possible for us to be saved. And he's also the one that provides us with the grace for us to be able to be saved. But one problem that we often have is we want to be saved, but we don't want to do anything about it. If you ever stayed up late at night, or I don't know if they still have this stuff on TV because I haven't watched regular TV in years, but it used to be you'd see these commercials that would come on where they'd say, "You can lose weight while sitting on your rear end and watching TV and eating junk food." Well, you know why you can't lose weight doing that? Because that's how you got fat in the first place. So it's the same thing with the spiritual life. If anyone tells you you can be saved without doing anything, without cooperating with God, and God doesn't really worry about what you do because all you got to do is say the magic words and believe in Christ and then you're saved, you doing whatever you want to do is how you wound up in the situation that you were in that you needed to be saved from. So for us to be saved, it's not that we earn our salvation, but God does expect us to do things in response to his grace. And so if you want to be saved, you actually have to cooperate with him. And so when we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, what do we see in his case? We see someone who endured the cross, despised the shame, and then he was set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And so he's the example for us. So we have to go through the cross to get to the right hand of God, or to be at the right hand of Christ, and to rule and reign with him as were promised in Scripture. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, or you could say opposition of sinners, against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Whatever the problems that we have been going through, no one here has shed the blood of martyrdom yet. That day might come for us, but the thing is, we have to be prepared for that. And the only way we're going to be prepared for that is to start applying ourselves and following the examples that we have. If you look at any person that's accomplished something great in life, usually you'll find that that person had heroes that they modeled their lives upon. Well, we as Christians have a great cloud of heroes to model our lives upon, with Christ being the highest and the prototype of all these examples. But in every saint, we see an image of Christ, because to the extent that they imitated Christ, that's the reason why they're saints. And so we have all these examples. We have to actually read their lives, but apply the lessons that we learn from them. Try to be like them. If we want to be saints ourselves, which is if we want to go to heaven, that's what it means to go to heaven, is to become a saint. That means we have to start trying to follow their examples. And also doing what it said at the beginning of this reading, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us. The weights that we have are things that are not necessarily bad in and of themselves, but there are things that are getting in our way. And if you're a runner, you might, if you're training, run around with weights because you're trying to build up your strength. But if you're actually running in a race, you try to have as little weight on you as absolutely possible. And if we want to live the Christian life, that means that if we see something in our life that's distracting from our ability to live that Christian life, if we want to be successful, we have to start shaving off some of those things from our lives. We might, that again, they might not be sinful in and of themselves, but we want to win the race. And certainly we have to unsnare ourselves from sin. We have to ask God to help us to overcome these things and run the race with patience, or a better translation for contemporary English would be run the race with endurance. Because when you're running a race, you're not just sitting there tapping your toes waiting for the race to be over. You're having to give it everything you have to win that race. And that's what it means to live a Christian life. Not just being passive, not just sitting around and waiting for God to make us be saved, but to actually look to the examples that we have and then to follow their example and to run in the race with endurance. Amen.